Well, this morning, you know, I was going to go over, and I thought Lord might lead me a different direction, but he spoke to me this morning and yesterday, and he said, no, I'm going to go above all things. We're staying that direction, but we are going to talk this morning. Now, they call this, you know, Palm Sunday, but I want to look at this today because there's a revelation that God wants us to understand. You know, there's things that over the years, and especially, you know, lots of times we get, like I say, I'm not a holiday preacher. I don't do it that way. But if God wants me to preach something on a certain holiday, we will. But one of the things that the church has missed over the years is understanding where it sits in history. One of the greatest things, the revelation of God, you need to know the place and time that you set in history and God's revelation to you, the time that you're in. And this is not criticism, it's just the way that it is. Most of the church world today will be focusing on Palm Sunday, and they'll put all, you know, they'll have what they call Jesus' triumphal entrance in the city, and basically it's a nice parade teaching. And it is, and they just go over year after year and they bring these things. But there's a revelation of God, and we need to understand this, and you need to understand this today. This picture of this event takes place. This event is going to take place again shortly. It is going to take place at the end of the tribulation. And Jesus Christ is going to come back and step on the Mount of Olives. And the armies, what they call Armageddon, that's going to take place. And those armies are going to be destroyed by Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus is going to go into the temple and take the seat as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you ain't going to have a parade of people to do it. Everybody's going to know it. But we're going to see the fulfillment of an event. And we're living close to the time of this. And we need to understand the place and the time that we're in. If we understand now, it's like God's plan for us is this. The scripture that God gave me that started this whole thing was 3 John, the second verse. And it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may as prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And if our soul doesn't prosper, we're not going to flow into the prosperity and the health that God wants. And we see in this event, we learn some things that will help us today of things not to do that really that can hinder our prosperity and hinder our health about going on at the time. I'm going to read from Matthew, the 21st chapter. We're going to look at Jesus coming in. And what we're going to see here is an event that has been prophesied many hundreds of years ahead of time by Zechariah. And it's been prophesied this event will take place and Jesus is going to fulfill this event. You know, it's sort of like it was a good thing I was thinking about this morning, and then Mike talked about the fact that him and Darlene had a sense to move in a direction, and then the Lord shows them, yeah, you're going to move in that direction, but don't go now. It's just like we need to understand this with Jesus. If you'll remember in his teaching, one of the teachings I did was the fact that Jesus was a man anointed by God. He didn't say anything unless he heard the Father say it. He didn't do anything unless he heard the Father do it. So he wasn't operating as God in the earth. He's listening to the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, he has to know when the time is, because God has to tell him, he has to be listening to the Father of when do we fulfill this? This isn't going to be something fulfilled. I just pick a date and time I want to do it. Like, hey, this week seems like a good week. Let's put it in and let's make this happen. You know, he's listening to the Father of when to do this. He's doing the will of God. He said, I don't say anything and I don't do anything unless I hear the Father say it and unless I see the Father do it. So in other words, he had to see this being done from the scriptural standpoint, and he is following it out when God said, just like Mike said, you know, there's a, God wants him to do something. It's not the time to do it. So you got to follow the Spirit on when to fulfill that. Even though God put it in their hearts to do it, it's not the time yet to do that. Well, it might have been in Jesus' heart to do this, but you don't do it till the Father tells you it's time to do it. So we need to know, just as Jesus had to be led by the Spirit, the same way you and I must be led by the Spirit. It's not enough for you and I. There's many things that the Word tells us. There's some things the Word says that we know that we can do. just a piece of wisdom. You know, Randall Greer talked about this. And doing things in a certain time or a certain way. Randy Greer was asked, he was going to be minister in a church, and the minister had asked him if he would talk to their group. They have a group that go out on the street to witness. And he said, he asked him if he would speak to this group of people. And he said, yeah, I speak to them. But he said, Lord, what on earth am I going to say to them? What am I going to tell them, you know, going out here? Because I've watched over the years, I'd been involved, when I first started off as a Christian, I'd been involved in a lot of street ministry. I did a lot of street ministry when I first started off. I seen a lot of good things happen, a lot of bad things happen out there for people, street witnessing. You know, there's a lot of people do a lot of stuff in the flesh. There's one thing that Randall Greer said the Lord told him, the Lord spoke to him, and before he had spoke that, he had been saying, God, well, God, what am I supposed to do with these people? And he said, I want you to tell them this. They need to get this. He said, before they go out witnessing to people, he said, they need to spend 90% of the time in prayer, 10% of the time in witnessing, and they'll have 100%, he said, of fulfilling what they want to do. You need to understand this, is witnessing to people. One of the worst things, this is one of the things I was taught in Bible school. You need to understand this. You need to get a hold of it. You don't go to people till God sends you. I don't care how, you know, I've watched this in families. I've watched family members just harden the hearts of their other family members by always after them all the time. And they do nothing but harden the individual because the individual ain't listening to them. They ain't in a place to listen. God knows when somebody's ready to hear something. God knows that. Well, what you got to find out is what God knows. What does God know? And this is the thing of finding out. Because see, just to throw this out there, a minister, a guy I know, he came here telling me how they did this thing in a local community around us here, one of the towns. Said, oh, we went out, they did the street ministry. They just did the street ministry. He said, wow, we had about 100 people came to Christ. And I asked him, I said, well, let me ask you, how many of those people are coming into your church? How many are involved? Well, none. Well, the whole idea, they didn't get any fruit out of it. What was it? The idea that somebody just made a confession of something, they thought that was just, you know, right? It produced nothing. You know, what would you go to a farmer and say, you know, hey, I planted 100 acres. Boy, I'll tell you, isn't that wonderful? Anything come in? Nope, nothing. We didn't get nothing off the fields this year. But we planted 100 acres. Isn't that wonderful? Man, isn't that really good? No, it's not. You can get nothing off of it. Ain't nothing good about it at all. All them people didn't come follow Christ. Who cares? It doesn't matter. If they're not going to follow Christ, there's one thing. We need to get this in our head. We need fruit. Jesus said, make disciples. He didn't say, go get people to make a confession. Make disciples. Jesus wants followers. The church doesn't do that. We want followers. I want to know who needs to be reached, who God knows in His time. God knows who is ready to hear something. There's one thing, as I know, when I came in the kingdom, you guys have heard my story, how God dealt with me. God dealt with me. He started dealing with me. I was in a time period of my life, and I was finally ready to listen to something, and He knew it. You know, years before, people could have talked and said all they wanted, and it didn't do a bit of good. And so we need to understand these things. God is moving, and here we see Jesus. Jesus is following in a time period here, fulfilling the plan of God. We know this fact, that the people who are all involved in this, and this great thing that goes on, they don't really know what they're doing. Because Jesus in that same city is crucified the next week, and they're all yelling, crucify it. But God's fulfilling something, and we want to see what it is. In the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse 1 says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you. Immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them, bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately He will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They bought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. Now, do you ever think about this concerning Jesus? Just for the thing of obedience. Jesus tells them to go. He tells them where this donkey and the colt are going to be. Tells them to untie him and bring him back. And these guys just go do it. They go do it. You know, you figure they had a part in the fulfillment of these prophecies. They had their part in fulfillment. What if they had a, we believe Jesus. We like Jesus. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a Jesus guy. We like him. I ain't going down there and going to take this guy. Don't even have much. Somebody come out and shoot you. Man, they just got they go obey him. And this is one of the things that's great. Jesus is obedience, but he's also teaching. He's also his disciples' obedience. Because we know over time, if you look at Jesus' ministry, they didn't always pay a lot of attention to things that he said and did. But we find at the end of his ministry here, he tells them to go do this, and they just go do it. They're at this time, they're at this point where they come to. So they're just going to go do this. Now, this is a prophecy from Zechariah 9:9, where Zechariah said, in Zechariah 9:9 said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So we're finding the fulfillment of this scripture is being fulfilled this day. This thing is going on. Now we found out what they did as the disciples took the donkey. It actually was the colt. And we need to understand the importance of this thing, that he rides the colt. He doesn't ride the mother donkey. You need to understand, because this is a carrying out of something. This is, you know, lots of times if you look at the prophets in the Old Testament, you will see that the prophets did certain things. They didn't just prophesy. They would do certain things sometime. God would have them do certain things to act out, really, about the prophecy, about to do. And we have here, we need to understand this, is Jesus, we're going to find that Jesus is going to be treated, really, they talk about his triumphant entry to Jerusalem, but really, this is a coronation. You know, the fact that they tacked the term on it, you know, Palm Sunday, is really sort of a lame thing to the event. This is a coronation going past. Number one, a king, this was very well known even before this time period. A king would be brought in on a horse that nobody else ever rode. It was never set on a horse other people rode. The king had horse. King David, it talks about King David. He had horses, or even a mule. Talks in some sense he had a mule and that kind of stuff. Nobody else ever rode that mule. That was his. Nobody sat on the king's horse. It's just like nobody ever run up and jump and sat on the throne. You know, they'd be burying you that day. You didn't go run and jump. It was an important thing, an event. Another thing is a colt was used here, has never been ridden. It's never been ridden. Jesus, in other words, they would put, and it's the same thing, they would have never set a king on a horse that anybody had ever rode. You didn't ever do that. You set him on one that no one else has ever ridden. This is all part of really the coronation of a king, as identifying. So when God did this, God is setting an example or setting something in the earth. Now we find here he's riding a colt, but nonetheless, a colt of a donkey, he's riding in the city. We have the fact that the disciples, and what the disciples did, it's interesting because they didn't just take this colt and set Jesus on the colt. They took their clothing or their outer coat. And that in those times, like the men would wear and women would wear like an outer coat thing. They would have their regular garment and they wore the outer coat. And the outer coat they took off, they put those over the donkey. Really, that's it's a sign of submission. This is a sign of submission to him. They didn't just sit him on the donkey. Yeah, he can ride down his colt down out of here. The disciples, whether they understood exactly what was going on, they're leading Jesus down, but it's a sign of submission. But then we find this submission among all the people and what begins to go on. Now, in Luke 19:35 says, "And then they brought him to Jesus." It said they threw their clothes on the colt and they set him on. And then Matthew says in 21:8, it says, "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road." You know, for a person, now you know, think about this. For these people to turn around and take their outer garments and throw them down on the road, we're not talking about on the sidewalk on the street in Lebanon. They're coming down out of the Mountains of Olives. This is a dirt road. These people are taking off their outer garment, throwing it down for him. This is all part of this king thing, folks. They would have done this kind of thing for a king. And the people are treating him. We find at no other time has anybody ever treated Jesus in such a manner. This is the first. This is a move of God here, folks. And we need to understand, this is not a normal thing. These people really didn't have an idea of who they really, what this really was, the significance of what they were doing. But really, they're declaring the lordship of Jesus. They're declaring his kingship. They're declaring this thing. And so we find here it says, you know, they cut branches down. Now understand, they're coming out of the Mount of Olives. So I'm sure there was olive trees and things there they probably cut them off of. We find later there is palms, so they probably had some fig trees and fig palms there. Mark in 11:8 said, many spread their clothes on the ground, cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And in Luke also said 19:36, and as he went, many spread their clothing on the road. They threw their clothing on the road. This is a huge thing of submission to someone. This is the people of that day. Now see, these things don't mean much to us. Don't mean much of anything to us. Because really, I mean, especially in America today, you know, I remember the old chivalry things. Remember the, I don't know, as a kid, you don't they ever show it again anymore. You know, the woman that's going to cross the puddle and the guy takes off his coat and throws it on the puddle. No, today the guy would throw the woman in the puddle and step on her walking across so he didn't get his feet wet. You know, it would be, but we don't understand the things. The fact that people would do this, the significance. When they would take a coat off and throw it at somebody's feet for somebody to walk on. See, we don't have that. We don't have that kind of reverence toward leadership or anything. It's not of any significance to America. I guess that's why they have the Palm Sunday and make the big deal over the palm branch and you know, whatever they do, burn and put a dot in your head and, you know, whatever, put some dust on you. And, you know, that's why people do that, because they have no significance about what is taking place or what's happening here in this thing. Now, we have John wrote, and John makes mention about the palm branches. In John, the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, John said the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. So, but here we see, and this is the only time that palm branches were mentioned, that people did that. It would have been a thing, probably, palm branches could have been put down the road. They could have, but also people could have waved them. You know, they were doing, in other words, this whole had the thing to do as an honor as a king coming. This was the big deal. And so God is really giving a revelation here. This is the fulfillment of Scripture. Now we know this as Israel as a nation. They missed this whole thing. They missed it. Israel didn't follow the Messiah. They didn't follow the Messiah and they missed it. Yet God is fulfilling this, and here it is. I mean, it's in Scripture. In fact, if you read the whole thing, the disciples didn't even understand it till after he was raised from the dead. Then they understood what the Scripture said. They're participants in this thing. Don't even realize what they're doing. This is one thing, as I learned a long time ago. Sometimes we can be unconsciously led by the Spirit to do things. We can be unconsciously led. There's times of things that I was unconsciously led. I did certain things, and sometimes I wondered, why did I ever do that anyhow? And later on, found out why. But really, you get an unconscious leading. These guys are followed. They're obeying Jesus. This whole thing is taking place. God's fulfilling Scripture. And people are a participation of this whole thing. And this is quite an event. I can sure understand why the leaders got so upset. They didn't like this at all. This ain't no little matter. This is not some little thing. And there's a lot of reasons why they got mad. It's number one, their fear of the Romans. Their fear of the Romans. Because, you know, Rome was in charge over them. They weren't supposed to have a king. And this guy here, people are declaring somebody a king. Hey, we'll get in trouble. You know, I don't care what the Word of God says. It matters not. We don't want to cause no trouble. Well, that's the church world today. Well, we don't want to cause no trouble. We just want to keep our mouths shut. Well, we find out the multitudes did something back over Matthew 21. Verse 9, it says, then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And is understand this, the leaders in of the temple and the whole bunch of them, they didn't recognize Jesus as a prophet, although they had to know he was one from what he did. And remember Jesus dealing with his crew, they come along and said, "Well, who gave you the authority to do what you do?" And he said, "Well, let me ask you this." He says, "You answer me this first. Was John's baptism of God or was it of men?" And they sit down and say, "Oh man, if we say it was of God," he's going to ask her, "Why didn't you listen to him? And then if we say it was men, the people will get mad at us and kill us." And I'm going to tell you what, there's loads of religious people today and leaders who are the same way today. They will do whatever it is to appease people and hold their power. It's about holding power. It's holding control over things. It's not so God's will can be done, so God can do what he wants to do, so man can control. And so, you know, hey, let's not be too honest. But we see the people declaring him the son of David. Now, see, that's getting too close to the Messiah stuff. That I can understand why they're upset. These people are saying these things. And it's interesting, because when you look at them, how many of them really had a revelation that that was true? You know. And I understand this. People will join almost anything of the excitement of the time. That's human nature. You know, I've watched the things of ministry already. I mean, God uses somebody, and man, one day they're cheering him, and the next day it's crucify him, crucify him. They don't like something else he did, and they're wanting to put him away, you know, because people are fickle. If you don't have revelation and you don't know what's going on, and that's one of the most important things, is Mike was talking about today, really being led by the Spirit, knowing what's going on, knowing what's of God and what's not. I can tell you this. I've watched some of the biggest name ministers in America and watched them in ministry and know that most of the time they don't really know what God's doing right now. They don't know what's God or what's not. They're basically following along the way the things that they have set to do, and they're going along. And I'm watching them and I'm thinking, you know, they're not listening to the Spirit. We got to know what the Holy Ghost is saying, because the Holy Ghost is the revealer of God. He's the revealer. As you like Mike said, even though you have something might be good to do, but if it ain't the time to do it, you don't want to be messing with it. Knowing the Spirit of God is a huge important thing. We're seeing the fulfillment here, how much the people here understand and know the fulfillment. But nonetheless, we sitting on this side, we can look at this thing and we can look at, it's for us to really glean from. It's for us to understand what God's doing and what God's carrying out. So they're excited about this thing, you know. So, you know, there's one thing. Luke makes this statement about the event coming in. So in other words, Jesus came in. Matthew doesn't say this, but in Luke 19 and verse 41 tells us this, that is, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." You need to understand. You need to understand today. Today, there's many in the church world talk about Jesus coming back, but they have no revelation that Jesus is coming back. It's just said. It's just people just go and mimic things. You need to know the time of your visitation. The Jews were looking for the Messiah in the time that the Messiah was there, but they didn't know which guy God picked and God had put there. Much of the church world doesn't know who God has put in front of them and who the devil has put in front of them. They don't know. They don't know a visitation of God. Most people will not connect with a visitation of God till they see ones who know the visitation and start to move with it. Then they'll jump in on the wagon and get involved in it. But they won't get involved because they know the visitation of God. You got to know the visitation of God. He said, because you people don't, you need to understand this. In 70 AD, here we are, Jesus. So we would consider this is about 30, 33 and a half AD. And so it means 70 AD, the fulfillment of this scripture comes and Jerusalem's completely leveled. Over 1 million Jews are put to death by the Romans. This took place. Jesus said, why did it take place? Because they didn't know the visitation of God. See, they had just kept following. All this stuff is taking place. All this stuff is going on. God has visited them. They have God walking among them. And their leaders, this ain't God, this ain't God. Well, if it be God, he'd be doing it through me. Look how wonderful I am. He'd be doing it through us. They don't see the visitation of God. They don't know it. God's moving around them. The fulfillment of the scriptures are taking place. All the things that are said about the Messiah are happening around them every day. It's going on around them. The Pharisees are called the word. They'd be the word people today. Oh, they're the guys, you know, you boy, whoa, whatever the law says. Well, if they ever read the law and knew the law, they'd know the law revealed Christ. Yet when the Christ shows up, they don't know it. Why? Because they have their interpretation. They're not listening to God. They have their interpretation how things are going to be. Here they have. They're all sitting there in Jerusalem. The big shots are all down in Jerusalem. Here they go. Big shots are in Jerusalem. And the Messiah comes into town. Common people are bringing him in as a king. And they're ready to kill him. And they have been planning it for months. And let me tell you, in the church world, I've watched that go on a lot, man. Man, how can we get, we don't want somebody to get too popular. My words, they can really, I'll tell you what, we do stay away. Oh, my God, get away from that tongue talker over there. I mean, that's surely the devil. We don't want none of that over here. Don't get any of that around here. No, we don't want any of that stuff. Uh-uh. Because people don't know God. They don't know the visitation of God. They don't know when God's moving or when he's not. These poor people knew not. And it led to their destruction. Back over in Matthew 21, verse 12, says, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out those who brought in and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold dove. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. He said, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Now I want you to understand something. Jesus is anointed as king, but he doesn't go, he doesn't head over to where, Pontius Pilate over there, he didn't head over to where he lived and go into there and go sit down as the governing authority there. He didn't go up to, where Herod lived in Nazareth, in Galilee. He didn't go up there. He went to the temple. Why did he go to the temple? Because you need to understand this. Jesus told Pilate this. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. Jesus was going to the temple. This is the place. The temple represented the kingdom of God in the earth. He is going to the place that he's king of, the place where he's king. His authority in this earth is going to come from heaven, not from men. It's from heaven. It's not from men. So he doesn't go there. We need to understand this. In the book of Revelation, when Jesus Christ returns in the same manner, he's going to come and land. He's going to be on a horse. And he's going to be with his followers. In other words, the saints are going to come with him. And the book of Revelation says, and he comes and steps on the Mount of Olives. The same place that he came down of at this time. He came down and he's going to go into the Eastern Gate. You know, I'll tell you, the Muslims believe more than the Bible than Christians do. The Muslims close the Eastern Gate and turn around and put a cemetery in front of it. So you don't cross over the cemetery to go that, you can't, you know, go across them bodies. I want to tell you what, when Jesus comes back to operate in this earth, as when he, and you understand, when he comes back as King of Kings, he's not going to come back barefooted carrying a sheep. He's going to come back and rule with a rod of iron, the Bible says. And when he comes down, he's going in that Eastern Gate. There's going to be, the Bible says, an earthquake. And it says the Mount of Olives is going to divide. There's going to be a highway. I'll tell you, Jesus ain't moved by men's cemeteries. He don't care who set him up. He don't care who did it. He will defy and defile anyone who stands in the way of God's plans and purposes. He's going to do that. That's what he's going to do. That's coming, folks. That's coming. That's not far off. That's not a far off event. Jesus Christ is going to come back. Hallelujah. He's going to take the church. When the church is gone, in 7 years, the earth's going to meet Jesus face to face. And they're going to meet the same guy that was on that. He came in humble first time around. Next time, He's coming in to war. That's what he's coming for. He's coming in to war. He's going to come in and he's going to be the King of Kings. He's going to be the Lord of Lords, and everybody will bow their knee to him, and whoever don't dies. That's what's going to take place. All those armies, hundreds of millions, are going to die in the Valley of the Armageddon. That's the Bible. That's Jesus. A.A. Allen, a preacher years ago, he preached a sermon God gave him. He said, God's a killer. Be a good sermon before he listened to. He got a lot of good biblical points out of it. It wouldn't be preached today. You know, God would never touch nothing, never do nothing. Oh, he just, you know, he's just a sweet little guy. You can run over top of him and do whatever you want, and he'll be fine. I'll tell you what, we're coming into a point in a time for a fulfillment. But I want you to see something because of what we're reading here. Jesus is not a king of this world. He went into the temple because that's the place of the kingdom. That's the representation of the kingdom of God in the earth at that time. Think about it. You're the temple of God now. The believer is really the representation of Jesus Christ or God in the earth today. The believer is. This building isn't a representation. You know, we made them shrines to this and that. There's nothing wrong with making nice buildings and stuff. But really the glory of what is and who is the representation of God is us as individuals. The church. Now, but we see in this temple, one of the things that's going on, this is Jesus' second time to come in to cleanse the temple. He had done it in his first trip to Jerusalem, and he's coming back to do this thing again. But we want to see what's going on because he goes into the temple here, and he said he drove out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said this. He said, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of thieves. Now, what's going on here? If you look back under the law, and this is important to understand, these Jews are probably figuring they're following the law. They're doing things. They twisted the law to their own advantage, to make money. To make money. Oh my God, they do it today all the time. Man, I'll tell you, ministries will learn how to do that. I mean, I tell you what, really, they don't realize. They have turned the kingdom of God and the things of God into a den of thieves in the things that they do. Now, under the law, it said this, because somebody living further away, and understand this, because some of the Jews would come from other areas of today, what we call Europe, and would come to Jerusalem, would come there because of of what was going on, the Passover, and they would come down. Now, when they would come, God told them this. Even when they came to the temple, a Jew, and he said he was far off, said he couldn't bring, to them to bring tithe was, they were farmers. So what they would do, the farmers and that stuff that lived in the areas of Jerusalem, they would bring the actual crop in. They wouldn't sell the crop and then go bring money. They had, whether that was wheat or whatever it was that they grew or whatever it was, they had grapes or whatever they did, or if they had wine that they made, they brought all of that and they brought it to the temple itself. And that was given to the priests and to the Levites. That was given to them because that was their livelihood for their ministry. So they would, in other words, bring those things in. Now the law said this, that if they lived afar off, they could turn around and sell their crops. So it'd make it easier for them to come. And they could take the money. And so when they got there, if they wanted to do like a sacrifice, okay, in this instant, they need lambs. Because they're good, then they could buy ones there. But see, what's began this? See, in other words, it was an operation that was operating. But what happened was this is what even churches do today. Churches start selling stuff to make money. They start selling things to make money, and really go in competition against other businesses, and usually charge you more than the thing's worth, and justify it from this standpoint. Well, the money's going for a good thing. I want you to understand this. Money received in the wrong way does not please God, and it goes to no good ever. See, these people in here, they're selling wares. See, they had a system going here. You went into the temple. Now, we talk about the temple. People think this isn't the part of the temple where the sacrifices and stuff were done. This is the court. And it's called the court of the Gentiles. Even the Gentile could go inside this area. They've turned in it and they've made it a marketplace. Why? Because the high priest and his boys, they make money off this, and we can make money to do things here at the temple, and we can make money to do this kind of stuff. This money goes to good stuff. It goes to nice things. We're doing nice stuff. None of that stuff was ever supposed to go on inside that court. None of it. And I'm going to tell you, even in the church world today, because we got many people, most of the church world has got this junk, not, it's in their temple, it's in them. They've gotten into where they believe this stuff is okay. You go to churches today, and they got all their coffee shops, churches, they build new ones, they put restaurants in them, they got everything. You go fulfill the lust to your flesh, go get in there, you can't go to church, can't go to church without, you have to have things to fulfill my, help keep my flesh happy while I'm sitting there. Because, you know, I got to do that. You don't go to church, be spiritual. Churches, why? And they make money. And they say, and I've heard ministers, and I've heard big name ministers, well, the money goes to good stuff. You know, I remember back on PTL and all that money going to good stuff. Yeah, that went to good stuff. Where is it today? It didn't go to do good stuff. It never went to good stuff because it was never the will of God. We got to watch this buying and selling stuff. What did it do? This is what it did. Kenneth Hagin tried to warn the church before he left. He had his, they called it a financial summit. He didn't call it that. But that's where the book came out of Midas Touch. But Kenneth Hagin called them in because this is what he said I saw happen. He said, the same thing that stopped the healing revival of the 50, he said, I see going on today in the church. He said, money's starting to take the forefront. All this stuff for money. All these things for raising money. And he said, I watched this with the ministers. They weren't out ministering in that stuff and having the healing revivals anymore and doing all the things so God's glory revealed. He said, they're all holding financial seminars. They're all holding all the stuff for money. And he said, you know what it did? It stopped the healing power of God. What do we see here? Jesus goes into the temple. He throws all these guys out. He throws the people out that are selling the stuff. And what starts to happen? Healing. The people came to him. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Too much stuff in his last days. It's just too much stuff. It's all based in money. It's all in, you know, money ain't wrong. Folks, I believe in prosperity. But you know what? I've watched things over the years. I've watched what's happening to me. I paid attention. Leaders and stuff, and I watched them things. I remember years ago, attending meetings, a very large church, and I watched it. They built a new building, and they put in their, they put in, at first it was a bookstore. And they were selling books. You know, they would sell their books or tape CDs. There's nothing wrong with that, just selling them. Next thing you know, man, every time I'd go, there's just more stuff in there to sell that didn't have nothing to do with God. It all had to do with people going in there. After a while, they're selling purses and jewelry and all this stuff. Man, you got a department store inside these churches. And I watched this thing going on in here. And you know what? I'll tell you, I watched it going on over the years. I know you don't say anything to them about it because, see, we got a big church. You are just a nobody. So you, who are you to say anything about us? But when I watched and saw that slowly building to this, inside of me I know this stuff ain't right. This stuff isn't good. What if people come into a church? I want you to understand this. Churches should not be taking from private businesses. That ain't what the church is about. God wants to bless the labor of people's hands. Churches are out here stealing from people trying to have businesses and doing things, and they're out here stealing. They think they have to go out here and sell all kinds of stuff and sell all kinds of things. Churches shouldn't be doing that. In fact, that same minister in his church who I'm talking about, he went and said when he first started off, I heard him say this with his own voice. He said, you know, we don't want to try to take the place of businesses out there. People are working hard out there trying to, the church shouldn't be a place that takes from the community. A church ain't a buying and selling. The church is a place where people come bring their offerings. The temple was never a place for to buy and sell to make money. It was for people to bring their offerings. As people labor out there, God blesses the labor of their hand and they come and bring it into the church. I mean, people today, there's loads of people, they don't even give money unless the ministry they give to gives them an offer. You know, if you'll give today, I'll give you this book or I'll give you that. I want to tell you, that ain't giving. That ain't giving. That's doing something to get. That's not the heart of God in giving. And what's said, it's been pumped into believers by the ministers and its operation. Selling stupid stuff from stones, you know, in crosses, from, you know, the tomb of Jesus. Dear Lord, there wouldn't even be a tomb of Jesus around if all them, they got stones in it from it. They'd have to take all of it. Dear Lord, they've sold 100 million of them things. There wouldn't be one of them left. But they do this. It's nothing but gimmicks of things to get people. If you give a certain amount of offering, we'll do this. Or if you give that, I'm going to tell you, folks, that just downright turns me off. I don't want to get that in my temple. I don't want that in my temple. I want to be a giver. I want what motivates me to do what's right, no matter what. Why? Because I can stop the power of God from moving in this place. And you can too. The wrong stuff gets in people. Kenneth Hagin warned us. He told us about it. He said they killed the healing revival and their things of money. And he said they're doing the same things today. And you know what? The same ones are trying to hold meetings to pray for a move of God. Well, let's clean the temple out. Let's get the temple cleaned out. Let's get the buying and selling out. And let's get back to God. God, the provider to the church. God said He'd bless the labor of people's hands. I pray God blesses the labor of your hand and you get rich. Hallelujah. And you don't have to try to buy and sell something with the church. We don't have to do a lunch. We don't have to sell chicken. We don't have to do those kinds of things. We don't have to do that stuff. If you sell chicken, do it as a business on your own. I don't want to be involved. It causes too much work. I don't want to be involved in it. Dear Lord, I got enough to do. I want to hear from heaven. If anything you need, somebody hear from heaven. Hallelujah. We don't need another salesman. Dear Lord, be a good salesman out there among people and sell. But when the church brings that stuff in, when the church does those things, when I came into the kingdom, man, the church, the Spirit-filled church was throwing all that out. And I'm going to tell you, they drug every bit of it back in today. The Lord taught me concerning, because getting involved with the youth ministry. He had me get involved with the youth ministry, and I was with the Traverse Church I was really involved with. And the Lord spoke to me. Pastor came and asked me to be in charge of the youth ministry, and I didn't want to. And I didn't know nothing about youth ministry. He asked me to, and the Lord told me I needed to do it. And so I asked the Lord, though, but what do I do with this? I'd never done anything like that. I didn't know. The Lord said, teach them what you know. But one of the things that the Lord emphasized to me, spoke to me clearly about, He said, whatever you teach them to do now, He said, that's what they're going to do when they grow up. He said, if you teach them to sell stuff to raise money, that's what they're going to do in the church when they get older. Because He said, their day will come and they'll be in charge of the church. And He said, that's why all this stuff's in here. Youth groups out here are a mess. Youth are not taught the Bible anymore. They're taught how to do the things like the world does it. And then they'll get older, then we'll teach them. No, you teach them when they're young. And I watched it with young people, teach them what the Word of God said to young, and I was totally amazed. We did one of the things in a church, the pastor even said he never saw it done in his life. We had a dinner for the church that the youth did. You know, the youth were talking about, well, we need money. And I said, look, we ain't going to go after money like other people. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I said, let's do something to bless the people in the church. So we decided we were going to have a dinner, and the youth was going to make a dinner for the adults of the church. That's what we were going to do. And when we told the pastor what we wanted to do, we just wanted to do this. And he said, he started talking about raising money. I said, we're not going to try to raise money. That's not what this is for. We're giving. We're sowing. We're not going to try to raise money. That's not what it's for. See, everybody got to have a motive for something. We're going to have a dinner. What? We're going to raise money. I hate this with these ministries. Send me things all the time to come to their things, and we're going to have this. And I know what it is. So when I go there, they're going to try to get money out of me. Why don't say it up front and quit the lying? Why not be honest and say, you know what? We're going to try to get in your wallet when you're here. That's what this dinner is about. It's about getting in your wallet. I don't mind if somebody wants money to do it. If you got something and it's honest and good from God, you can tell me about it. You don't have to give me lunch. Dear Lord, God puts in my heart to give. I'll give to it. Dear Lord, I don't care what anybody else. You don't have to give me lunch to get me to do that. But this is the whole thing today. We got to treat the world like we, the church, like we do the world. Got to sucker them into something because people can't hear from heaven. They can't give on their own. They got to be suckered into it. I'll tell you, you people deserve better than that, don't you? I don't want anybody thinking in this church we're doing that kind of trying to sucker you into something. I'll tell you, I think a lot more of you than that. If you're that dumb and you have to have it done that way, you need to go someplace else if you ain't caught on yet about it here. Dear Lord, that's not the way we are. You don't want anybody ever treating you like that. To me, that's not, I might as well just come in here and slap you in the faces to do that stuff. You know, I don't have to put pictures up of sad puppies to get you to give something. Dear God, you know, we tell you what, we don't even have to blow the trumpet a whole lot. You people give. Dear Lord, why? Because you got something inside of you that's better than what's in most of the church. And even in most ministers today don't even have it in them. Because they got to be suckered the same way. It's a system that is destructive. And it takes away from spirituality. I want healing back in the church. People need delivered. People need set free. Not another one of these stupid programs and another thing to try to sucker people into something. We got to come back again. Hallelujah. I mean, value what God made you. Somebody treats it like a piece of dirt. Don't you join the club. Value what you are. You can hear from heaven. Mike, God can talk to Mike. He can talk to you too. Hallelujah. I don't have to be, you know, I don't know how to get here and walk 10 miles, so trying to get people to give. Dear God, if I want to walk 10 miles, be in shape, that's good. But my wallet can be open to give. I don't have to go through some circus act to turn around to get. You know, we got to do that. That shows a sign of spiritual immaturity. That shows a sign of people that are carnal. All this stuff we do, got to get people. They say, well, these wonderful guys. Well, it all goes for a good thing. Man, if I could tell you how many times I've heard that and watched it just go to destruction. It's good things, good stuff. It's all good. Oh, it's good things, good stuff. I'm going to tell you what. It's more blessed to give than receive. Somebody doesn't have to give me something to get me to give. I'm going to tell you, if they have to do that, there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with me. It's my nature to give. It's your nature. And you people act good about it too. Hallelujah. Don't get over in that other place. Don't go over and let buying and selling get on the inside of you and stop the healing power of God and the prosperity of God in your life. Don't allow it to. I'm totally convinced that's why a lot of people don't prosper who give. Because they have been trained so wrong about it. They got a house that is a den of thieves. And they have been trained that way. They have been taught that way. And they were been taught it's Bible. And they don't know. They just keep following the same path. They just keep following the same path. And they don't know. They're always looking, what can I get out of this? We don't give them what we can get out of it. God already said in His Word, I can ask Him for anything I want and I can get it. So why does my giving have to be tied to the fact of I'm going to give because I have to get something out of this? I get something out of God anytime I want to. He said so. Dear Lord, why am I giving? Because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do, and that's why we do it. And I want you to be blessed. This year is supposed to be a year of great financial blessing to you. It's supposed to be a year of health to you. It's supposed to be a year of a sound mind to you. That's what God's plan is for you this year. Hallelujah. And we don't need some gimmick to get there. We want the Church of Jesus Christ to be a place of blessing, of health and wholeness. We want it to be a place where the Spirit of God moves, that we can hear from heaven and we can follow it. Hallelujah. And God can do His will and His purpose here. That's what we want. Hallelujah. And if things have to be cleared out of me to do it, then we'll clear it out. Hallelujah. If things got to get out of the inside of me so that can work, then we'll have to do that. Hallelujah. And let's allow that today. in the church world. These things were put here. Hallelujah. These things and these events were to give us this revelation. Hallelujah. So you and I can walk in the plan of God. Listen to this in closing. Matthew 21 verse 14 and verse 15 says, "But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant." They saw good and got indignant. They saw good and got indignant. I'm going to tell you, you get over in and become a money changer, and I will guarantee you what you'll become. When God moves, you'll become indignant. I've watched it already. I've watched the people that get over and they just get full of the house of the den of thieves. And when God starts moving, they're mad. They're mad at the people that follow God. They become indignant. They see good and they get upset with it. He's healing people and they aren't excited because the lame are walking and the blind are seeing. I've watched healing revivals go on and I've watched God move. I've seen lame walk. I've been around. I have personally, in my own eyes, seen people in wheelchairs get up and walk out of wheelchairs. I've been right there. So I've been there. Ready. Wanda and I worked at with Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Brother Hagin was still alive and that stuff. And I remember Brother Hagin ministering one night. I'm working in the handicapped section. I'm standing down there. I mean, a woman right beside me got up and walked out of a wheelchair. I've watched these things go on. And you know what? I've watched people criticize the healing ministry. I've seen them over the years. "Well, out there ain't nothing but the devil. God ain't doing that. They're down there." They're indignant. They're nice little religious people playing their little games down here. They're indignant. Somebody's getting healed, and the first thing come out of their mouth, "It's the devil." Dear Lord, if the devil heals, I lived and worked for the devil. I was involved in sorcery. And you know what? Ain't none of the guys got healed. Ain't nobody was getting well. Ain't nobody, and you know what? Ain't nobody talked in tongues among us at all. The only time we talked in so-called tongues, we were so stoned that we couldn't talk right in English. We were just wiped out, maybe drunk or on drugs, you know, and you're just a wife. Ain't nobody spoke in tongues. And ain't no healing meetings ever went on. And we were good at serving the devil too. You know, we didn't have none of that stuff going on. I've asked other people if they've ever had it. No, they didn't have it either. I talked to Randy Greer about it one time because he was lived like hell too. He said, "Yep." He said, "We never had no healing meetings. We lived like hell, but just, you know, we didn't hold healing meetings. I didn't do that. Devil wasn't doing that stuff." These people come along and they come along with this stuff and they say these things. They become good is done, and rather than get excited about good being done, I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be one of these crazy people. When I see good done, I get excited. You know, and you guys have heard me say this before. I have seen this over the years. God, most of the time, when it comes to a ministry that's going to be really out there, sort of, and something that's going to be really sort of in the forefront of something that's going to be, especially in the areas of the power of God, God usually chooses a person that a lot of people don't like their personality. That's what God does. God usually chooses a vessel that people don't like. And it isn't God. But you know what? God don't give us like we think. God, why? But the Bible says this. We're supposed to know no man after the flesh. And see, most people are all tied to person. I like certain personalities, and I like certain this, and I like certain that. We need to get over that stuff. We need to be able to see who God's using and who God's not using. We need to see that. We need to be able to see who's being used. You know, there's people I've seen already, and I'm thinking, dear Lord, I mean, they can be tough to be around this, but they got the hand of God on them. There's one thing, glean what you can get out of it that God's doing. Get a hold of it. You know, I don't care. Sometimes people do even things wrong. But you know, there's one thing, and I've seen this even among sometimes a healing ministry. I've watched people and I think sometimes they're doing things wrong. It's going to catch up with them. But there's one thing, when the meetings are going on and people are getting healed, that's God. I don't care what he's done wrong. That's God. The Lord told me years ago about this. He said, people get all upset over this because some guy is, or woman isn't walking right or living right. And he said, they'll say, well, how could it be God working through them because they don't do this right or they don't do that right? And the Lord said, I don't operate healing through them for them. I operate healing through them for other people. He said, there's people who come to their meetings and they're believing God for healing, and I do it for them. I'm not doing it for the individual. You need to understand the gift of God in an individual is not for them. And if you turn it down, you don't get it. My anointing is not for me. It's not for me at all. It's for you. I'm anointed to minister to people. That's what I'm anointed for. I'm not anointed to minister to Ed. And you need to understand that. If God only used people based on the fact because they did everything right, well, we might as well just call Jesus right now and get us all out of here real quick. It's going south. I'm telling you that. Now, it's one thing. If people consistently do certain things wrong, it's going to end up costing them. But you understand this. God in the earth wants to do good to people. And He will move in any way He can to do good to somebody. Somebody comes to a meeting, the minister might be messed up, but God's not. And that anointing He put on that person's life, if that man sitting in or a woman sitting in that pew is operating in faith, God will deliver them. And He delivers them by the anointing that's on that person that He put there for the purpose is to deliver people. Not to deliver them, to deliver people. And you need to always stay with that. Stay with God in things. God will do good in spite of man doing evil. God will do good. God will take the good part out of things. I mean, I watch lying, cheating ministers. And I mean they're out here. I mean, one minister, you know, he turned around, they'd take people in their meetings. And he's on TV. And they'd have people walk out of wheelchairs, but they never told you the fact. They were putting the people in the wheelchairs. When the people came to the service, they could walk. And they'd put them in. Oh, that minister, he's on TV and radio still today. I mean, and people, this stuff was broadcast about him. But you know, people have just been taught, they've been such a house of, a den of thieves, they just can't see the truth no more for anything. They'll just keep following the wrong thing, no matter what anybody else says or does, all the crazy things that people do. There's all kinds of, but the most amazing thing about it, there were real healings that went on in those meetings. Because there's people went there with faith in God, and God did heal them. And there was gimmicks. There's one guy, you know, he would wear a thing in his ear, and his wife would send, during the meetings, would send people around and go talk to people and find out information about him. And while he'd be out ministering, his wife would be in the back talking, telling him about different people, and he'd go up and like he's giving him a word of knowledge. He's still around. He's today. He's still on radio and television. He's still out here doing it. All that was brought out about him. And the suckers still follow. People just keep going along with it. They don't stop. They don't quit. Say, why does it go on? Because of the church. He ain't a bad minister, per se. He's just like the congregation. They don't listen to God either. If they listened to God, they'd know. You know, for years, I would see these guys, and I'd watch them operate there, watch them on TV. I never felt right about them. And I'd see them doing stuff, and I'd think, I wouldn't watch them anymore. I knew something was wrong. Something's wrong here. Something's not right. So you got to learn to be led by the Spirit, folks. I knew years before PTL was going under, I knew it was going under. I knew it was going to go. And I watched Christians just chase after it and chase after it. And they were all people who had been around Christian a whole lot longer than I have. Wow, they learned just to follow what looks good and looks nice. And I'd say to them, but what about when they did this money? These things are not right. Yeah, but it's for a good purpose. That was always the answer I got. But there's good things that come out of it. Oh, boy, a lot of good came out of it, didn't it? Phew. Oh, that isn't how things are judged. The end does not justify the means. Never. 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 God looks at the heart. If the heart and motive is wrong, the outcome is wrong. God judges by the heart. If what is on the inside, a man can stand up and say all the right things, but his motive for saying them is wrong. There's people who get up, and I hear them talk about prosperity, but I know they're doing it for their own greed. It is never justified before God. That's why I never pushed on the areas of money. If anything, I didn't want to get over and become what I saw other men have become. You know, Kenneth Hagin did this, and you know, Kenneth Hagin said this. Kenneth Hagin, you talk about a man write about the areas of money. A minister, when Brother Hagin started, he started making tapes, and I said, a minister came to him and said, you know, you ought to write some books. You can really make some money. And he said that, and Kenneth Hagin said, for many years I could not write a book because he said, that got into me what that man said. He said, I can't write books to make money. He said, I got to be able to write books to get the gospel out to people and to help people. He said, now we make money off of it, but he said, that's not the purpose that we do it. See, I want to see this. I've had people come to me and say, Ed, you know, you ought to write a book you could make some money on. I've had people tell me that. I have a hard time with that. Because I don't want to get over it. It isn't about making money. We got ministers out of here worth hundreds of millions of dollars off of their books. They have found, that's why they pump new books out all the time, because they got all these people that will buy them and they make money. And the money don't go to the ministry, it goes in their pocket. Calling it prosperity. But they aren't writing books to get some. Oh, brother, say, oh, that's a good book. If the motive is wrong, it's trash. The motive is wrong, you put money to it, you gave him money, and that money ain't going to get you nothing out of that thing. Folks, there's things about this being, you know, you don't want to get the den of thieves in you. You don't want to get this, the money changer. You don't want to get that inside of you. That isn't why, you don't want to get over in there. God promised to bless you. He said he'd bless the labor of your hands. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. We don't have to chase around like other people do. When it comes to the kingdom of God and comes over to the church needs to become a different entity in the earth. When people see it in the outside, they should not see us as anything like any of the rest of the organizations go on. Now, there's nothing matter with the other organizations and the things they do, but we're not a business. The church should never be run like a business. Never. This is a place where it operates in faith and what God tells us to do. You know how many times have ministers get a hard time? You know, they have to hire, you know, especially the traveling ministers, they have to hire accountants and that stuff because they got to file their things every year because they're not like a church. Church doesn't have to, you know, file like the income, you know, stuff and things. We don't have to do that. But they do in ministry, and they file accounts. He said, I've heard traveling ministers, you don't realize how much trouble we have with our accountants, because when you walk by faith and do things by faith, your accountants are always fighting against you. They don't know how to do it. They don't know nothing about faith. And he said, all they do, Randall Greer said, I just one day got fed up and fired my accountants. And now I'm getting another. He said, I can't stand this guy. He said, he comes along and he said, every time I want to make a move, he's fighting me. Well, you need to get, he guy knows nothing about, you just take a step out of faith and go do something and the money ain't there, but you, God's put it in your heart to go do it. The money will come into it. They don't know how to operate like that. They're just out in the flesh. And so all the time they're hassling. He said, I got so tired of this guy hassling me, telling me stuff. He told him one day, just that he's in there to do it. So I said, you're fired. Get out of here. He said, you don't do nothing to help me. I'm paying you, and you don't do a thing to help me. I wish it was so easy to get rid of some ministers. I could just say, fire them, get them out of here. I'm going to tell you what, I believe this year we're going to have some firing going on by God. I do. But I just encourage you, keep yourself clear on the inside. Hallelujah. Keep yourself in the place you can hear from heaven. Keep you the place where the Holy Spirit can talk to you, reveal, so healing can flow through you. Hallelujah. Be a house of prayer, a place where you commune with God. Don't let it get cluttered up by other stuff. Be at a place, this is where God and I meet. This is the place where God the Holy Spirit lives. This is where we meet and commune. Don't let other stuff get in there and get in the way of that. Don't allow things to come in and what men do. Keep at that place, and I will guarantee you, you'll live a blessed life. You'll live a prosperous life. You'll live a healthy life. That's what God wants. You don't have to go jump through all those hoops. Hallelujah. You're children of God. Hallelujah. You're children of God. That was by His decision. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How blessed those people were that Jesus came in and cleared out. People got healed. People got delivered. God revealed himself. I want God to reveal himself in the church again today. I want God revealed in the church world, where the church world becomes a house of prayer and the house of healing. I want it to become, it's the place where God shows up and people get blessed. God reveals himself to people. Hallelujah. It isn't because somebody got their hand out. And it's because somebody's looking and targeting the people. It's a place where it comes down. And the only target we have is to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Our target is to save the unsaved. Our target is to do good. That's what our targets are. Hallelujah. Let's get that back. We had that back in the 80s. We were like that. Crazy young guys didn't know squat. But I'll tell you what, we just go do whatever God said. Crazy. Hallelujah. And all the brilliant guys hauled us off to some other place. But I'm going to tell you what, we're going to lead people to the right place. Hallelujah. That's what we're doing. We're reading them. We know what to do. We know where to walk. Hallelujah. And God will honor. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you today. Lord God, we here in this place today, and Lord God, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate these people.